Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hello, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. I'm really excited today because I have Lorna Jones on my show. And Lorna Jones is a trichologist for all hair types, and she's also the author of If Only Hair Could Talk. Welcome, Lorna.
Hello, hi.
Lovely, lovely, lovely to have you on my show today. And I'm really excited to talk to you about hair because as I read your book, I just thought it was really interesting from a practical perspective how you look after afro hair, because I'm just going to talk from an afro hair perspective because the book talks a lot about afro hair type and also breaks down lots of things in terms of washing the hair, in terms of wearing wigs, and all of this I think is so relevant within the African Caribbean community. But I'm going to start off by asking you a question. Why did you write this book, Lorna?
Okay, well, thanks for inviting me on. And the background to the book was my own hair loss. So I lost quite a bit of hair. I don't know, maybe 60 to 70% of the hair that was on my head originally. And I went along, when I first started, when I first noticed my hair loss, I was literally on a bus going to work, and I saw a parting in my hair, and I thought that didn't look right, so I needed to go and, you know, investigate what was going on. So
yeah,
I went along to the doctors, and the doctors referred me to the dermatologist at the hospital, and they did a biopsy, which is where they take a scalp. They scrape a bit of your scalp off, and they look at it underneath the microscope to try and understand, you know, what was going on, what the cause of the hair loss was. So I had a few options. I could wear a wig, I could take medication, I could do nothing, various things. So I put a wig on. I wore a wig for a few weeks. Luckily, when they came in, they said there's no underlying medical condition that caused hair loss.
Yeah,
but my question was, well, what causes it then? How does someone lose their hair? Why do they lose their hair?
That's so interesting, Lorna. That whole question, why does somebody lose their hair, is so interesting. And I just want to break in for a minute because I do a lot of work with mental health, and I just feel like from an emotional standpoint, what was going on for you at the time?
Well, absolutely. So I put my wig on. I thought, wear a wig for a few months. And I used to, and at night when I used to take the wig off, I used to comb my hair because I still had quite a substantial amount. I lost a lot, but I still had quite a bit underneath the wig. Yeah. And I used to ask myself three questions. Where did my hair go? I used to think to myself in my mind, where I used to look at my hair, think, you used to be on my head.
Yes.
Where did you go? That was the first question. The second one was, why did you go? And that's the question that you just asked. Why? Why do you lose your hair? And I'll tell you. And then the last question I asked myself was, to my hair almost. You know, why didn't you say you were going? Because you were supposed to stay on my head, and I didn't realise that my hair was on its way out. And then I said to myself, maybe my hair was trying to tell me. There might have been clues that I missed.
Yes.
And that's where the book was born. So I thought, what were these clues? What is it that I could have picked up that I didn't notice that could have maybe not have kept my hair on my head, but I probably could have taken, or I probably could have taken better care of it. So in terms of the question, how did that, what did that do for your mental health in terms of how do you lose your hair? Why do you lose your hair? Mm. For me, it was, first of all, you can't understand it. That's the first thing. And sometimes it's the not knowing. Yes. That's the hardest. Now, I've got a science degree, so I've got a naturally inquiring mind. I ask lots of questions all the time. Mm. And the way for me to deal with that was to understand it some more. I needed to understand how it's possible in life for you to lose hair. So the way I dealt with it, I decided to embark on a trichology education that took me around the world practically to different countries. I studied hair, obviously in the UK, did some clinical training with in Manchester. I also carried out some clinical training in Australia, South Africa, Washington, and also traveled to Holland. So the way I dealt with it was to try and understand it. Now, when you're losing your hair and you don't know why you're losing your hair, it's almost as if your hair is in control of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I thought, well, let me take back this control. I can't afford my hair to control my life, or my loss of hair to control my life. So I thought, let me take back some control over this and let me understand it. Now, some hair, fortunately for me, I started, was able to regrow some of my hair. Now, that's not always the case. So sometimes you'll find you've got some cases where it's a permanent loss. Yeah. And with a permanent loss of hair, even if you can understand it, it almost gives you control over what's happening. I can't explain it anymore.
You know what? From what I'm hearing, I kind of feel what you're talking about is mindset, because, you know, everything is linked to our mind. Everything that happens within our body is our mind. It's our mind first, isn't it? You know, our mind tells us to move our arm or our leg. And I suppose the mind's also connected to the hair and the head. And just as I'm listening to you there, and you said you want to take full control, because you've got to take back your power. And it, in some ways, it's probably like taking back your mental power, so you can then say, no, I don't want this to happen. So mentally being in control of what's happening. Do you understand what I mean, Lorna? Or would you describe it in a different way? Or
no, I think you described it very, very well. I think that's exactly it, because a person may still continue to lose their hair, but the fact that they're understanding how and why, and accepting, the biggest thing is acceptance.
Yes, yeah.
It is what it is. We are where we are today. Hindsight's always a brilliant thing. So even though I said in my, you know, I wrote the book because I thought, well, let's look at the clues. That's where we are today. It means that we can still look at the clues, and tomorrow we can do something maybe, you know, different that may help. It may, you know, it may help. That's all that we can say. But
yeah,
it's absolutely, it's about accepting where we are and accepting what we can do about it, and accepting sometimes we can do nothing about it. And that's still acceptance. That's still control, because you put it in your brain, mind, that it's fine. The brain is very clever, actually, because I think I probably put it in the book. The brain has got a way of diverting. For example, I always talk about nutrients. Yeah. Nutrients are useful, obviously, we need it for what we eat, affects our hair, our nails, our skin, our health. And what happens is the body takes in nutrients, and it circulates it to the most important, you know, the major
sends the messages, sends the messages, the neuro kind of messages to the brain and to the what part of the body, and yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it sends it sends the nutrients to the major organs and everything. And if the body is deficient, it won't send it to the hair. But how does that work? How does the brain know to do that? That's not science. It's, you know, it's nature, isn't it? You know, nature versus science. You taking your nutrients, if you're deficient, for example, in iron, I mean, that's usually, that could be quite a big one. And obviously the hair needs all the nutrients, but if the body is deficient, it will rob the hair follicles of the iron. Won't actually rob it, it just won't send any extra iron to the hair, and it just sends it to the rest of the body. So the brain does that because the brain knows that you need to function. And that's why one of the options the dermatologist gave me was, you can do nothing, was simply that. It's not a problem. Many people survive and can survive and do survive very well without a single strand of hair on their head. It's fine.
It's really fascinating. And I love the kind of the ideology of the book as well, and your whole idea of going through that process. You know, you said earlier, where did my hair go? Why did it go? And why didn't you say you were going? So all those kind of the whys and the questions. And it's almost, for me, it's almost like, you know, when children are young and they're always asking, but why this, mummy? Why that? Why? And it's like you're asking your hair, well, why? And if you probably have known the process, then you could have known what happened. So can we talk a little bit about that process? Because you said, you know, where did my hair go? Why did it go? And why didn't you tell me? So in the book, there's a little bit of a process, because you talk about, you know, all different types of things that you can do for your hair. So if somebody is in that space of the unknown, not really realizing that their hair is going to go, and they're just kind of just wanting to take care of their hair, what would you suggest?
Well, I start off, and I think it's really important, I'm going to say it again, I just mentioned it, which is nutrition. Nutrition is a major part. I mean, whether somebody has a hair condition or not, nutrition is vitally, vitally important. A number of if people have hair loss and suffering hair loss, we sometimes find inflammation associated with that type of hair loss.
Interesting. Yeah.
And inflammation is something that we can reduce in our diets, and inflammation we can increase with the wrong type of diet. So you'll have things like fast processed foods, for example, that will cause inflammation and increase inflammation. And then you can flip that over and have, you know, leafy green vegetables, for example. There's a whole range of food that reduces inflammation. And inflammation isn't only found obviously in the hair follicles. It's found with other illnesses people have.
Yes.
So I always say, just take a look at your diet, whether you've got a hair problem or not, and ensure that you're feeding your body the things that it needs.
Well, that's really interesting, because, you know, like, for example, with blood pressure, there is different foods that are good for blood pressure and different foods that are bad for blood pressure. So what would be a hair food? If there was like two or three foods that are really good for hair, what would they be?
Again, I mean, it's a healthy, balanced diet, really. That's all I'm going to say, because if people are deficient in nutrients that has caused the hair loss, then ensuring that those deficiencies are met, if you like, and if that has caused hair loss, then it should increase, you know, bring the hair growth back. But a healthy, balanced diet, we talk about vitamin D that you need from we get that from our bodies, make that from the sun. We know that we're deficient, a number of people are deficient in the nation, because they either cover up with either sunscreen or don't stay out in the sun long enough, or there's not enough sunlight. So that's a big one, and that's an easy one, because once somebody gets, you know, you can get your bloods checked every so often with the doctors, and if they find a deficiency, then they will recommend. But I wouldn't take extra vitamins without your bloods, because taking too many vitamins will have the same effect as not having enough, so it can cause another problem. So you don't want to take too much. You just need to know where what's in your body at any given time, so that you can, and the doctors will say what you need to do. I mean, you've got your irons, you all the foods that you need, all your healthy, balanced diet, we would say, to ensure that your hair gets all the nourishment that it needs.
Oh, that's really, really, really interesting. Now, I just asked that question because, you know, sometimes certain herbs are really good for different things. Like, for example, when you're detoxing, ginger's meant to be really good. And there's certain things you could take. So, but that's interesting, like you say, just a leafy, healthy diet, vitamin Ds, all of these things that will help, you know, as so-called hair food would be brilliant. I want to dive a little bit deeper though, Lorna, because as I said, this is really called Real Stories. So I want to dive a little bit deeper and learn a little bit more about you, because obviously you've gone on this journey and you traveled all these amazing places to do your research. And I just want to ask you, what was your kind of happiest breakthrough moment when you were traveling and studying to be a trichologist?
Okay, that's really an easy one, actually. I tell you, I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and I understood that there was a particular hair condition only experienced by, well, predominantly experienced by black women, afro-textured hair. So yeah. Black women, mainly. Some black men, but mainly black women. And I remember being in the conference thinking, and they said they didn't know the cause of it. In my mind, I said to myself, well, why? Why? Because we've heard about this condition, and it's a condition called CCCA. So it's CCCA, which is centrifugal cicatricial alopecia.
Okay.
Yeah, thinking, with all the research that's been going around, you know, people are doing far more now than ever before.
Yeah.
Where's the research for that? I just remember asking that question, and I asked the presenter, and they didn't know. So I thought, well, if there's no research, you can't start to begin to look at treating the condition because you need to know what's caused it. We can start to, you know, put therapies together. So a year later, I started this trichology course, and then I went to Barcelona in Spain early on this year, around about March, April this year, and I met a professor. Her name's Professor Delova, and she was doing some research on this actual condition.
Okay, amazing,
because there hasn't been. So years ago, back in, I think it was about late 1950s, it's the central scalp hair loss. So it's women who lose hair in the centre of their scalp. That's where it starts.
Yeah. So central scalp hair loss. Okay. Yeah.
People CCA, and it's CCA short for central. That's the middle where the hair loss starts, which is in the vertex in hair. Then you've got the centrifugal, because the hair loss starts to expand in a symmetrical way, centrifugally, so it moves outwards.
Yeah.
Pattern. Cicatricial is scarring, and that's where the hair follicle, so the hair grows from the hair follicle, and with the progression of this condition, the hair follicle dies away and is replaced by scar tissue. That happens. You get no growth. You get no hair growing from that. You're in that area. And alopecia is medical term for hair loss.
Yes, that's right. So with regard to that, what was the kind of breakthrough moment there then? Because you said you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's brilliant. So in 1958, they saw a number of women with central hair loss, and they put it down to, or they just associated it with hot combs. So if you remember, people used to use hot combs.
Yes.
You know, press their hair and straighten their hair and put it in the fire and all sorts of things. And that's what they told me. It became known as hot comb alopecia.
Then
years later, in the 70s, people started using chemicals to straighten their hair, and it became known as chemically induced alopecia.
Yeah.
And then that's what happened. So for years, nobody really understood anymore, apart from the fact that some women get this particular condition and it's associated with straightening, with it originally heat straightening and then secondly chemical straightening. But quite recently, Professor Dilova earlier in this year unveiled some research she had done with some other dermatologists. She's working with other scientists in America, and they found that this condition was associated with a gene mutation, and that's what has, you know, is part of the, you know, yeah, it's caused the problem, or that is certainly associated with it. So in terms of managing what's this particular condition, once the hair is gone, it's gone. It's a scarring alopecia. So there were a number of scarring alopecias. This is one of them, but it's usually only found, predominantly found only in Black women.
So that's so fascinating, isn't it? Because it makes sense, because obviously, like you're saying, using the hot comb on the hair, which is very damaging for the hair, and a lot of people will be doing this without even realising the damage that they're doing. And it's interesting, over the time you said, you know, this is your breakthrough moment and finding out this central scalp hair loss. It's very common. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. I went to this conference. It was the European Congress for Hair Research, and it was just amazing. There were so many papers, so many research papers. And I mean, honestly, people all over the world. When I walked through those doors and I saw where I was, I thought, look at that. It's such a huge problem, not just in London, not just in the UK, not everywhere. Just in England, all over the world. Mm. Honestly, they've got new discoveries, new research, new everything, every single day. And they're looking at developing conditions and obviously trying to develop therapies to deal with them. They've got another new one, actually, which it's not new, it's been around for a long time, but they've seen an increase in it, and it's a condition called frontal fibrosing alopecia, and that's what they call an epidemic all over the world. So I guess my breakthrough moment is finding out about that CCCA, but not only that, just realizing that it's such a huge problem everywhere.
Yes
and it's not just, it's literally increasing. In some certain conditions are increasing, and women are finding that they're getting hair loss problems younger as well.
You know what, that doesn't surprise me, because, you know, I mean, often when I go to the hairdressers, I've got dreadlocks, and so I just go to hairdressers every 6 to 8 weeks and get my hair kind of relocked at the ends. But what's really interesting, I always find when I go, is the amount of people that are still straightening their hair, even after... the comedian Chris Rock put out that that video about hair, and you know, you can see the damage of what chemicals do to the hair, but yet people still, even in this day and age, are straightening their hair and still putting all of these chemicals in their hair, or they're dyeing their hair. It just absolutely fascinates me, because I always feel natural is the way to be, and I revert back to the 70s, you know, where you had a lot more people wearing their hair or wearing their afro out, and it was almost quite political at that time, wasn't it? You know, the whole afro hair and embracing this afro hair, and almost want us as West Indians and African people to go back to that point of just loving the hair. How would you explain your journey to kind of embracing your hair and loving your hair and accepting your hair as a Black woman, Lorna?
Okay, so I never used to put chemicals. I mean, that was just a choice thing. My hair was it was quite straight, actually. It was wavy straight, not straight, straight, obviously. And it was quite long as well, and I didn't do too much to it. But in terms of where we are now and embracing natural hair, we've got obviously this naturalista movement, haven't we, with lots of people now going back to what you just said, the natural hairstyles, and some people are still straightening their hair because they like, you know, the straight look. And that's why my book embraces all types of hair types, even people who decide to shave their hair off completely. Because I think people will always, I think it's really important to have choices and to keep options open for as long as possible, i.e. to keep your hair on your head as long as you possibly can.
That's a start, isn't it?
That gives you options, even if people decide to, you know, shave off completely. But then they, if they do decide to do these things that can be damaging, then they'll know, they can make informed choices. Yes. So the book talks about that. It says things, well, actually, if you chemically process your hair, then this is what happens, which is, you know, one of the most damaging things you can do to your hair. But people can still do that. Once they know that, then they can make those choices, because people
I think that's brilliant. That's what I think that's brilliant about the book, because you actually talk, even talking about washing afro hair, which I found really interesting, because some people think, you know, you don't have to wash your hair that often. And some people would even say, oh, the longer you don't wash it, then the more it will grow. I've heard that several times. So what's really interesting is the fact that you break it down in your book, and from a step-by-step process, and you talk about what could happen to your hair, or that some of the dangers. And I think this is why the book is so important, because even you say, you know, if you're going to go and straighten your hair, or if you're going to go and do whatever you're going to do, or put a wig on your head, it's as long as you do the research. But the thing is, people don't do the research. A lot of people just want their hair to look in a certain way because of the aesthetic. And I think that's what's great about the book. I feel that every hairdresser or every hair salon should have your book, so they can make that informed decision before doing what they're doing to the hair. Because I think the real key here is a lot of people aren't aware of what they are doing to their hair, or the damage it will do to your hair, especially when you're young. Because when you're young, you know, you just want that hairstyle, don't you? And as you get older, then you start to feel more, okay, I need to really look after my hair, because, you know, for some reason you might feel my hair stopped growing as fast, or there might be all whatever decision or different decisions as to why you want to do what you do with your hair. But the problem is, there isn't enough awareness. And I think that is why the book is so key. So Lorna, so what have you been doing about the awareness of your book? I know I've seen you pop up loads of places.
Brilliant. So what I've done, actually, and it's really interesting. So I've been doing lots of talks, lots of free talks, in libraries.
Brilliant.
And libraries have been having their own events, and they've invited me along. And so I talk about the book, but I talk about hair, where hair grows generally. I give them some background about hair, and we talk, you know, some of the things that can happen. And it's really important, because I say to them, like, two people can do exactly the same thing. One person can have a problem, and the other person's absolutely fine. Yeah. And that is just the nature of hair loss, because obviously it depends what's going on in our bodies generally, and everybody's, you know, makeup will be different. But that's raising awareness. It's been interesting. People have been interested. At the end of the talks, you know, people have come up and said they've learned so much. Just those three words, learned so much. They didn't know this before. It's just been brilliant. And that's why I wrote it, because when I was going through all of my studying, I used to think to myself, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really? Do people know this? I wonder. And that's, I just used to do that. And I used to make a note of all these things. I thought, I didn't know. Even just how locks grow. How does the lock grow? That was one of the questions.
Yes.
I'm set at it. And I worked it out. And basically, the way, like, locks grow, you have people with really long locks, yes?
Yes.
So, just to digress for a second. So, the lock grows. Your hair grows through cycles. It grows. It's got three stages, three main stages. It's got the growth stage, which is called the anagen stage. And, like, 70 or 80% of your hair on your head at any given time are at this stage, because your hair continues to grow. You've got, like, what we call an intermediate stage, the anagen stage, where the hair that's that the hair follicle is doing nothing, the hair's doing nothing at all, so it's getting ready to leave. And then you've got the catagen stage, and that's where the hair falls out. So every day when we comb our hair, you lose between 50 to 100, or maybe even less, maybe between 25 and 100 hairs a day. So when you comb your hair naturally comes out, which is fine. It's part of the hair growth cycle, because as it's coming out, there's some behind it. If everything's not going working well, you've got a new hair coming behind, and you don't notice it, and that's fine.
This is so key and so important, but I, you know, the whole kind of hair cycle thing, like you say, you're losing hair, you're coming back to hair, you're losing hair. But you know what I'm starting to think about as I'm listening to you here, and also after reading your book, I know I touched a little bit on the emotions, because there are different, there are also maybe emotions, because we're talking about our mindset and our minds with regards to links to hair loss. So for example, I know that when I had my little girl, I lost a clump of hair. Yeah, when I had my little boy, my hair grew. So even just going through being pregnant, I noticed the difference between hair, no hair. And if I think back, even looking, I know some people that I've spoken to may have lost hair during the process of grief, and there are other people that may have lost hair during the process of depression. I mean, you don't talk about that so much in your book in terms of those emotional standpoints, but do you feel that that must have some kind of contribution to the hair loss as well, or the hair and the way the hair is, from a mental perspective?
Definitely. And you're right, the book doesn't touch on the causes of hair loss. So it just talks about, it's really an essential grooming guide, if you like.
No, it's amazing. It's brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm. So in terms of the what you just said, the actual causes, and that's a huge one. There are so many different causes, and you've touched on, you know, three or four of them. Stress, obviously, people always say that, and that's a big one. But it's not just like stress, because we get stress, we go through an element of stress most days, you know, to run for a bus just is stress, isn't it?
Yeah. Different levels of stress, and I suppose it depends on where you live in the world as well.
Yes,
that's it.
And it's got to be chronic stress over, you know, your chronic stress over a sustained period of time.
Yes.
And postpartum hair loss, which is what you've explained with babies, and, you know, that you've got all sorts of things happening to your body, hormonal, I mean, there's so many different types of hair loss, and some people, as you just said, two babies and two different experiences in one body. There you go. But it's a mindset, and quite often people come to the clinic and they are you know, they're worried about the hair loss, and then they have to somehow not worry to be able to you know, if worrying is a part of the hair loss, to reverse that, you have to reverse the mindset.
Yes.
Easily, you know, easily said and done. I understand that. So I never say to people, I understand what you're going through. I think that's belittling, because you never really truly understand. But in my own way, I understand, only because I went through it myself. But my approach was, as I said, well, let me find out what's going on with this. You know, what is this thing? You know, how do you deal with this?
Yeah.
And other, you know, people operate and respond differently, and that's absolutely fine, because we're all human. And I suppose I've flipped it on the head. At one point, I was thinking, this is quite funny, because before I started writing the book, and when I was busy looking at my hair in the evening, and I used to comb it, taking the wig off, I got really cross with my hair at one point. And I thought, you used to be on my head. What on earth, you know, what was wrong? Why did you go? And then I said to myself, actually, maybe I shouldn't be mad with my hair.
You know, that's so interesting, because you're talking to your hair. So you're looking in the mirror and you're saying to your hair, why are you going? What are you doing? So that's really interesting. So it's almost like, you know, we talk to plants and we say, if you talk to plants, your plants will grow. If you know, people say that sometimes, talk to your plants. It's not like you're being crazy, but it's just that whole thing. So, so what I'm getting from this, and your title of your book is, you know, If Only Hair Could Talk, you're talking to your hair, aren't you? So it's like looking in the mirror, then that maybe promote it or change the mindset and say maybe an affirmation. I love you, hair. It's like an affirmation. I love you, hair. I love what you're doing. And I love you. Keep growing. Maybe you think that would help from affirmations for hair. What do you think about that?
It's brilliant. I mean, it's actually brilliant. I went to a lecture the other day and someone said, you know, maybe hair's spiritual. I thought it was a really good analogy because yeah. that ties in with my book, because I'm saying, because obviously when your hair grows from underneath in your scalp, in your body, it's very much alive. You've got living cells that are growing your hair. That's where you start. It's part of your body here. So your hair grows out, gets to your scalp, and it's pops onto your scalp, onto your head, and at some point it dies. Now, I don't know what at what point it dies, but it's dead. So yeah. Your hair, you've got one strand, one single strand, half of it, which is hidden in your body, is living and continues to live whilst your hair's growing, and the other half on your head is dead. That's clever, isn't it?
You've got two different bits.
And obviously, cut your hair, you don't feel it because you've got no nerve ending, so your hair is very much dead. You tug it, if you pull it, you'll feel it at the root because that's the bit that's alive, but the bit that you're touching is dead. But then is it dead? Are we going to move into this spiritual thing that the light that your hair is actually speaking to you?
Yes.
Has your hair got any feeling? Not actual feeling, but you know, a spiritual feeling. I don't know.
No, it's just interesting. I just thought of that because you were saying if hair could talk, and the fact that you said you used to talk to your hair and you were cross with your hair. But would you say now you've changed your mindset with your hair so you talk lovely to your hair?
Well, yes, because my love.
That empowers your hair.
Absolutely. And I think what happened was, as part of my training, my clinical training, I tried to understand a bit more about my own hair loss at that time. Yes. Although I was learning about hair loss, I was obviously learning about my own at the same time. And I remember the lady who was the trichologist who was training us, and her name's Evie Johnson, and she's in Washington. She's absolutely brilliant. She's so brilliant. She said to me, look, it was on one of the days of the training course, she said, look, if you let us look at your own hair loss, then that will inspire other people, because sometimes what happens to you, other people may be going through it.
No, totally. And that's kind of why I do what I do as well with regards to real stories. I always say, what is your story? Because by hearing your story, I always think Maya Angelou, for example, she didn't write, I know why the cage bird sings. She wouldn't have healed so many people. And when you tell your story as to why you lost your hair or what went on for you personally, I think it does help to kind of inspire people or even draw people near to you for what you're doing, or, you know, or come and see you because they feel that you understand.
I think you're right. I mean, at first, I had a lot of hair, I had an abundance of hair. Yeah. So I was embarrassed. First of all, I lost length. That was the first thing. I probably lost about 11 or 12 inches over quite a few years, and that's a lot of hair to lose.
And
I didn't notice it. I mean, it's amazingly, the hair, it was behind me. I did not notice my hair breaking, because that's what was happening to it. My hair was just breaking off, lost lots of length, and then I started to lose density, and that's when it became important or serious to me. I didn't notice all that length, but I did notice when it wasn't as, I didn't have as much on my head as what I was born with. So we're born with about 100,000 hair follicles and for a baby, and then you won't ever get any more follicles. You get your hair from your follicles, but then you may lose. So obviously, if the older you are, you're never going to have that, you know, that full head of hair that you had. Yeah. When you were growing up, that's with everyone.
That's interesting, actually, because I actually think of my mum, and my mum suffered with dementia. And I remember towards maybe the last couple of years of her being alive, her hair actually grew. So that's interesting, you know, just kind of like, because hair is so fascinating, because she was actually, she had a little bald patch where she was losing hair, and as she got older and her dementia kicked in, the hair actually grew, and she had quite a lot of hair when she died. So that's really interesting as well. As you get older, you can still get hair. I think that is linked to the mind as well. There's no reason why I ask the question. I'm so fascinated by what you do, because it's almost like when you have dementia or you've gone that, it's like your mind's gone somewhere else. And it's almost in some ways, maybe the mind's been free. So then the hair is able to grow. That's why I feel there's a connection to the mind and the emotions and what you do. Yes. Because that's what I just found fascinating with her. Because I remember growing up, she always had this little bit of hair that was, you know, that wasn't there. And basically that hair came back through her dementia. Even though she was ill, her hair was growing and it was like getting healthier as she got older. And that's fascinating. I think that could have some link to the mind going and the worry going, I suppose, because once your mind's gone, the worry's gone in some ways, isn't it? So that's really interesting. That's why I thought really it'd be interesting to see what your next book's about, if you were to talk about that from the emotional standpoint and how that's all linked. So it's just something that I just find absolutely fascinating myself as well, with the whole the power of the hair and the other side to the hair, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of emotions with hair loss.
Yeah.
Things. So important to just accept if something, it's like anything that's going on in your life, in your body, it's about, I suppose, trying to just always stay in control in as much as you can. There'll be some situations where you can't. You have, in hair loss, for example, you've got a condition called alopecia areata. That's autoimmune. It's just happening in your body. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
It happens. The white blood cells think that it's under attack by your blood cells, your hair follicles. And so it attacks back. It's almost like you can't, there's so many different autoimmune conditions. And what they try and do, what we try and do, is try and slow down the progression of those, and sometimes they can stop themselves. So with alopecia areata, it can be sudden. Usually you need a trigger to trigger the trigger it off, but then it can stop as suddenly as it started without any intervention, any that medical or chirurgical intervention. So there's all sorts of different things going through your body, and I can understand with dementia it frees up any of the normal day-to-day stresses, but it also brings other things that may have enabled maybe the hair to grow. It depends on the cause of the hair going in the first place, but
It's just interesting. It just fascinates me, isn't it? Really, it's so interesting. I could talk to you all day, Lorna, but before I bring it to a close, have you got some inspiring words about hair that you may want to leave my audience with?
Oh, okay. Well, two things, really. And this comes up at usually all of my talks, when you talked about hair washing and the reason why it's become even more crucial is because we have, for those of those people who've gone into this, you know, embrace the naturalist movement, there's lots more products on the market now, so people are trying new things. So there, you've got your hair natural oil that your body produces, which is what we call sebum oil. Then you've got the products that people are using. You've got the buildup of all of these things. And so by the end of the week, you know, you've got quite a couple, you know, few layers there. If you're spraying your hair or, putting oils on your hair and all sorts of things. So absolutely, that's one of the main things I'd say that we can do to improve the general health of the hair, just to keep the scalp nice and clear and give it like a healthy environment for the hair to thrive. Because if you think hair is very fragile, it's very small, growing through, and it you're putting all these products on your hair. You just need to have a clear environment. So I would just say, have a think about weekly washing. And the reason why we don't wash, some women may not wash their Afro-textured hair, wash weekly, is because of hairstyling. So we do these hairstyles and you want the hairstyles to last as long as possible. And, you know, and that's, you know, part of the reason. But I would say, definitely, if you can't, if people don't feel they can wash their hair weekly, then certainly two weekly, but you wouldn't want to leave it longer than that. That's just a small thing. That's the main thing, just to look after our hair, embrace our hair, understand what's happening to our hair before it starts happening to us, because that's what can happen. And if it does, don't ignore it, because hair loss can be a barometer of what's happening in the body. Check it out, go along to a doctor, go and see a trichologist, and just keep a note, because you can have things like over or underactive thyroid, for example, gland, that can be a symptom. So you see the hair loss, but then it might be a symptom of something else that's happening in the body. So I wouldn't ignore it. I'd check it out.
That's brilliant. So I think the key is, don't ignore what's happening, because I think we do that with everything really in life, can't we? Sometimes with your body, there may be something going on and you feel, oh, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to go to the doctors. But what you're saying is, don't ignore the symptoms, act on the symptoms, eat healthily, and wash your hair regularly, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, if people are not already doing, they may already be doing, which is fine.
Yeah, I do wash my hair regularly. I'm a bit like, because especially when you go to the gym or you go swimming, you know, I always want to wash my hair regularly. But I know some people don't within, and some people feel an awareness or lack of awareness, not realising that they can do that. So that's absolutely fabulous. So Lorna, I want to say, from the communication doctor, adios. One of my takeaways from today's show is, change your mindset with regards to your hair if you are going through hair loss. And it's interesting that this book is called If Only Hair Could Talk, because the idea of talking to your hair is changing your mindset. And as Lorna said earlier, that she wanted to take back her power, and she'd done that through changing her mindset. Now, one of the biggest takeaways is, Have a think about how you can talk to your hair, listen to your hair, and embrace your hair, and try to understand what's going on with your hair. Because if there is a sign that there is something wrong, the sign in your hair may be led to something in your body. So have a look at all those different things. And the biggest thing is to go out and get the book, If Only Hair Could Talk, because that would really help you to understand some of the practical things with regards to hair loss. And thank you for that. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. To listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.